This is the Grind It Podcast. We know just like grinding a handrail or across a coping can be challenging at times, so can life be. We share God's Word and personal stories to encourage you to keep grinding and to not give up. It's time to grind. So here's the old school skateboarder himself, Randall Tucker. Welcome to the Grind It Podcast. Today we're going to finish up, Lord willing, Mark 14, before we head to South Carolina for a few days. So there may be only one podcast this week, not for sure exactly on how that's going to work out just yet. But regardless, I digress. In the last podcast, we left Jesus and his disciples, and they were eating the Passover meal for the last time. And Judas has dipped the bread in the bowl with Jesus, and he takes off to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Yeah. Which, by the way, fulfills a prophecy from Zechariah chapter 11, 12, and 13. And all the disciples, they're freaking out, trying to figure out what's going on. You can just imagine. And even though Jesus has told them many times, I'm going to die, I'm going to be betrayed, you know. And so he says, let's sing a hymn and get this ball rolling. And so that's where we're going to pick up with in Mark 14. They head to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's got his disciples minus Judas. Judas has gone off to collect his 30 pieces of silver and bring his little militia to the garden. We'll see here in a second when Shelby reads. But it's here in the Garden of Gethsemane where Jesus really shows his humanity. Because he's going to ask the Father if there's another way to get this done. And why would he, you know, even say such a thing? Why would Luke say that his sweat became drops of blood? You know, and then there's been doctors that's proven that to happen. His capillaries would burst. And why would he be in such agony in the Garden of Gethsemane, would you think?
He knew he was going to be separated from his Father.
Yeah.
For the first time ever.
Ever.
He also knew he was going to be bearing the weight of every sin, every sickness, every malady, every depravity for all time, for all people. That's heavy. And even those closest to him were about to betray him.
Yeah.
Left utterly alone to bear it.
What does that song say? He died alone for you and me. Remember the hymn?
Don't know that one.
You didn't read my notes, but that's pretty much what I put on here. We know it's cold outside. Most people don't sweat when it's cold outside unless they're having hot flashes. It's warm outside. I mean, it's cold outside, so Peter's going to be warming himself by the fire, so we know it's cold or at least cool outside. And so why would he be sweating is because of what you said. But one of the things that I listed that you didn't say, because you mentioned the rest of them I had listed, is that he knew the beating he's about to take, the pain that he's about to endure. You know, Isaiah 52, at the end of the chapter, talks about the King James Version says his visage was so marred.
Beyond all recognition.
Beyond recognition. Yeah, you wouldn't even recognize that he was a man. So you can just imagine what he went through for us, which, you know, just makes it even more the love that God has for us. When you read John 3:16, you put that in perspective, it makes it really come alive, make it pop.
All right,
Shelby, if you'll read 27 through 31.
You will all fall away, Jesus told them.
He's talking to his disciples, right?
The
11 just left.
For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. Truly I tell you, Jesus answered, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the others said the same.
Yeah, all of them said the same. Peter says, I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. And they all said the same, but we'll see here in a few minutes that they didn't really mean what they said. It sounds good. It-
I think we all feel passionate about the fact that we would live or die for Jesus if you're a believer in him.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to brass tacks, when it comes down to really being persecuted for what you believe or for saying that he is the Messiah, will you stand? Will you endure to the end? How much of the book of Revelation was written to the church? To him who endures to the end,
mm-hmm.
right? It's easy for us to say, I would die for you. I would die with you. But how many of us would actually do that?
Yeah, when you're put in the moment, it's easy to say it when you're not in the moment. When you get put in the moment, when you're, you know, it would be more difficult. I don't want to find out for sure.
Right. But I've heard of churches all around the world where persecution is real and physical, you know, physical maiming or bombings and things like that happen. And looking out at a crowd of a congregation and seeing several people, one hand and one nub, as they're worshiping the Lord because they've had a hand removed because they wouldn't deny Christ.
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't that be a sobering sight to see? But wow, for that person's faith, you know, to stand in the midst of that persecution and say, no, I'm going to live and die with Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I've covered the book of Hebrews on this podcast, and there were people that was dropping Jesus like, you know,
mm-hmm.
there was no tomorrow because they, you know, because of persecution and the persecution that they were suffering, that he said, you hadn't even shed blood yet,
mm-hmm.
but it was so bad and intense, evidently, that they, you know, it was enough to make them go back into Judaism. And we just got finished Revelation today at church, and the Revelation series that Pastor's been preaching on, and the persecution that they were undergoing. Like you just brought up Revelation 2:10, mm-hmm. be faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. It's easy for us, especially in America where we're at, where there's not very much persecution, very little. I mean, there's always exceptions, but we don't know what that's like. So it's easy for us to say, oh, I would die with Jesus. But until somebody's got a gun up to your head or you're watching your loved ones being tortured, it's mm-hmm. it's a whole different ballgame.
Mm-hmm.
One thing before we move on from this is I want to talk about something where, because you don't hear this talked about a lot. We read about Jesus. We read about the disciples and their points of view. But what about God mm-hmm. during this whole situation that's going on? God the Father.
Mm.
Because this is his son, mm-hmm. his one and only son, as he points out. But it says, God will strike the shepherd. God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. God is kicking this thing off.
Mm-hmm.
I had an elder when I was playing a worship team at another church. He said he found out that I drew some. And he was telling me about something he would like to have painted or drawn. And so I stole his idea and drew it. But it's God's eye with a teardrop coming mm-hmm. out of it. And inside the teardrop is the cross
mm-hmm.
with the sun on the cross and the three crosses. So I drew that. I stole his idea. It's really cool. It was a good idea. Could you imagine how heartbroken? I mean, like you said, for the first time in all eternity, these two are fixing to be separated because right. God can't look upon sin. And Jesus is about to become sin for us.
Mm-hmm.
Cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. Right.
And their separation. And there's a scripture, and I have to look for the address as far as God was pleased to bruise him.
Yeah.
To crush him. And not because we have the sadistic God who is into causing pain for himself or anyone else. But what does that scripture say, Isaiah?
Isaiah 53:10.
What does it say?
You want the NIV version?
Sure.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand.
Okay, so essentially, because God sees the end from the beginning and saw what Jesus' death would accomplish and the communion restored with mankind, that made it pleasing for him.
All right.
To know, okay, I'm not enjoying seeing my son in pain or brutally beaten and the separation that we're going to experience. But, right, what does it say about Jesus? For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. The cross, right?
That's exactly where I was going.
He said he looked away somewhere.
He was on the cross. Yeah, that's the ideal that we're talking about. It doesn't, I don't think it completely says that, but it talks about how God can't look upon sin.
Right.
And so is it Peter that talks about curses the man who hangs on a tree?
I believe you. Yes.
It is Galatians.
But what is God the Father feeling or experiencing during all of this?
Paul says in Galatians 3:13-18. Do me a favor, go and check out some awesome worship music that's written and sung by my beautiful wife, Mary Tucker, and you can check that out at marygamboamusic.com. Mary is the worship leader at Authentic Church at 322 Lindsay Street in Alcoa, Tennessee. Now you can check us out and come worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. and we'd love to have you there. Also, you can download Mary's songs wherever you stream your music. If you would like to book Mary for your next event, contact her through the website at marygamboamusic.com, or you can text her at area code 865-418-2824. We look forward to worshiping with you soon. Now, back to the podcast.
Well, you were just asking, what was God the Father feeling in all of this during this scene?
Yeah.
Jesus and the disciples are going to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? They've just celebrated the Passover feast. They've sung, they've celebrated, they've remembered, and he says, I'm going to die. Peter says, I'll die with you. I'll never disown you. And we all say yes and amen until persecution hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but what was God the Father feeling during this whole interchange?
Well, going back to that and about being, for the first time, them two being separated. Well, we're going to talk about in just a second, but in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prays three different times, let this cup pass from me. We're going to get back into that in just a second. But what did he get from God? Crickets. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And he kept saying, nevertheless, your will be done. And then when he's on the cross, what does he say? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means what? My God.
Why have you forsaken me?
Yeah. Why have you forsaken me?
So, right.
That's why the sweat became his drops of blood, as Luke says. The mm-hmm. agony. It was because of the pain he was going to be facing, the sin, the weight of sin, the man. I mean, he took on all our sin.
Mm-hmm.
Which we can't fathom that as a human. He took the weight of our sin, and for the first time, he knows what it's like to be separated, like us. When Hebrews says he was tempted in all manners that we were tempted,
right.
He knows what it's like to be separated from the Father. Not because he sinned, but he became sin.
Right.
And then he dies on the cross. So, all of you will desert me, he tells the disciples, and Peter, in his outspoken self, says, hey, if everybody else deserts you, I'll never desert you. I'm here for you, big dog. I will never deny you. And Jesus says,
we'll see about that.
Yeah. You'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. And I bet Peter's saying, yeah, we'll see. That'll never happen. I guarantee that's going through his mind. You know how arrogant he seems like he would be. But that's exactly what happens, right? Peter denies Jesus three different times and the rooster crows. Let's see. I asked y'all before we got started. Why would it take Peter to deny Jesus three times the rooster crows before he realizes, man, I just did exactly what Jesus said I'd do? Because the Bible says he goes off and weeps. Mm. He cries. You know, he's weeping bitterly. When the first time he denied Jesus, why didn't he say, well, here it goes. I'm doing exactly what Jesus said. And stop and repent.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't do that. Why not?
It's a great question.
Yeah. I think it's got something to do with, if you think about it, when we're in sin, when we're choosing to sin, or especially living in sin, which is different than, you know, sinning mistakenly, you're living in sin. But anyway, when we're choosing sin, we sometimes just lose our minds. For some reason, that sin, it just takes over. And we're so engulfed in what we're doing, we won't stop thinking, I don't need to be doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going against God's will. No, we're too busy having fun. We're too busy, you know, doing whatever.
Right. Well, I mean, the scripture says sin is pleasurable for a season. And so you're far more focused on pleasing yourself at that moment than you are pleasing God.
Yeah.
Fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you know.
Yeah. One of the things I pointed out in my talking about sin and separating us from God, one of the things that I pointed out in my sermon the other day, a couple weeks ago, it was 1 Corinthians 10:12-13, where Paul says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Mm-hmm. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. You know, I said in the sermon, the devil doesn't use anything new since right. The garden. It's the same old thing, but we continue to just keep falling for it, right? Because, you know, sin, it just, for some reason, Paul, and it's like Paul says, he even struggled with it in Romans, where he said, he's going to deliver me from this
body of death,
yeah.
Right?
Because I keep doing what I don't want to do. So the struggle is real, right, with
mm-hmm.
sin.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Peter saying, I'll never deny you. And all the others said the same thing. We'll never deny you. We'll die with you. And Paul says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. And he goes into temptation, because that's how we fall. Is we get Satan wants us to get our mind off of God, serving Christ, and getting on to sin,
mm-hmm.
and basically really serving him. And so we look at just how quickly, you know, these guys have been with Jesus every day for three and a half years, mm-hmm. right? They've been given power to cast out demons, to heal people, to mm-hmm. preach about the kingdom. They've been going into villages and doing this.
Right.
They've seen Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. And then here they are, they're all deserting. Mm-hmm. They all flee. And so how quick was their fall, right?
Mm-hmm.
Epic fail is what I call it.
But it still makes you think, like, why Judas after all that time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, up until the last minute.
Because it could have been any other disciple.
Right.
Why yeah. Judas?
Yet there's also verses that say the one destined for destruction. And that's a hard thing to wrap your mind around.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a chance.
Right. I mean,
but could
he had choices.
He had choices.
Right? He had choices to make, and he chose. But at the same time, there was one to fulfill God's plan. There had to be somebody to betray him. And just like back in Exodus, you know, as far as Pharaoh and Moses, Pharaoh had to harden his heart. And it says in some scripture, I believe, that God hardened Pharaoh's heart.
But Pharaoh's heart was already hardened.
Right. It was already hardened. But it's like the Lord put some lacquer on that to solidify it,
mm-hmm.
so that he could bring his people out and crush the Egyptian gods. In the process. So, I mean, there are some things that are...
But if you remember...
God knows the choices that we're going to make.
Yeah. And, yeah, it absolutely does. But if you remember when Heather was... Was that last week when Heather was with us?
Mm-hmm.
Scott and Heather. I said... remember I said something about Judas, and I said, what if Judas would have just hung on for a few days?
Mm-hmm.
He would have seen that everything was going to be okay. Because Judas was there when Jesus had told him on several occasions, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to die, and this is going to happen. And I don't think Judas had any idea at that moment in time that he was going to be the one to betray Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But if he would have just hung on and seen everything, I think if Judas would have asked for forgiveness, I guarantee you God would have gave him forgiveness. But he didn't do that. He unfortunately went out and hung himself.
Right. And so you've got that version of betraying Jesus. But here Peter is also betraying Jesus. He's saying, I don't know him.
Yeah.
Yet Peter is one of the close three, right? That has walked closest with the Lord during this time. And so the reaction to that sin, the conviction of it, is totally different, right? I mean, Judas is broken about what he does, and he goes out and ends his own life. In this, Peter goes out and weeps, but then later he's restored.
Right?
Spoiler. Yeah, alert, spoiler alert. Right? I mean, not that you don't know the end of the story.
Yeah, after the resurrection, they're having the Jesus has got the fire rolling on the
right, but charcoal. You know, he gets restoration, and that becomes really part of his testimony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes his life, really.
Right.
Given both, well, after the Holy Spirit fell upon him, I think, too.
It makes me think, I wonder if Jesus talked to the other disciples before or after that.
Before the betrayal?
Or after?
I doubt he did afterwards. I mean, we don't know because he didn't say anything about it. I think that they knew after it all happened, they went back and realized that he was stealing money from them. Because John mentions that in his gospel, that Judas was stealing money the whole time. But I think the way it went down, I don't think any of them knew it. When Judas dipped his bowl and Jesus says, go do what you got to do and do it quickly. I think because in John's gospel, it talks about they thought that he was going to buy bread or something for the meal.
Something else for the meal.
Yeah, something for the meal. I don't think they saw Judas again after that until he showed up at the garden with that militia. And they're probably thinking, dude, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when Judas watched Jesus being arrested and then taken and being betrayed and tried to be crucified and everything, he took off. But he may have had some conversations with him during that time. We don't know. It doesn't say. But because we don't know where they ran off to. They all fled.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared because they're like, hey, we thought this guy was the one and he's being arrested and all this stuff. Why is he letting this happen? Maybe he's not the one. We're out. We're gone. And so, we don't know. That's a good question, though. It's a good thought. But we know that Judas did go throw the 30 pieces of silver back at the the religious leaders, and then that's when he went out and hung himself. So
we've jumped.
Yeah.
Back to verse 32.
Yeah, so they go to the olive grove, called Gethsemane, and Jesus says, sit here while I go and pray. And here's the three. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief, the New Living Translation says. What'd you say the NIV says on that one? In verse 34?
My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow.
Overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. But it says, he's crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. So that, what's those saying? You have one job. And they didn't do their one job. Their one job was to stay here and watch with me. Pray, Jesus says. Pray.
Keep
watch. But what do they do? Like me at 9:30 last night. I couldn't hold my eyes open. So you and Shelby were talking and I'm crashing on the couch. Because I couldn't hold my eyes open. Hey, it's late at night. This is Thursday night. Late Thursday night. We don't know how long the meal went on. We don't, you know, when they sang the hymn, we don't know what time it is when they went in the garden. But these guys... They're wore out from sorrow. If you think about it, they're grieving here because they don't understand what's going on. They're thinking Jesus is the Messiah. He's going to deliver us. We're going into this war with the Romans. He's going to deliver us, but it's not happening like that. Jesus saying, I'm going to die. They're all grieving. And, you know, when you're grieving something, it can take a toll on you, mm-hmm. on your body and stuff. And so... Jesus walks back and he finds them sleeping three different times.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally says, get up. Like, we got to get going. But if you will, shall we read verses 35 through 42 when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane? Okay.
Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's go. Here comes my betrayer.
I feel their pain. My cousin used to get so mad at me when we were younger, and he'd come pick me up, and I'd go stay with him for a few days in Memphis. And he wouldn't want to go out, because he had a license, and he had a Trans Am. He went 78 Trans Am, like the Bandit, you know. And he wanted to go riding around. I'm like, man, I'm sleeping. He's like, dude, it's like 9 or 10 o'clock. And I'm like, I'm out. I could not stay awake. I've always been like, I'm in the bed by 10 o'clock, even when I was a kid. And I was an early riser. You know, get going. So I get what's going on here. It's hard for these guys to stay awake. But Jesus mentions in his prayer this cup, the New Living Translation says a cup of suffering. And he's asking God the Father to take this cup from him, as the NIV says. What's Jesus talking about, this cup of suffering? Because Paul mentions it also in Philippians 2, 14 through 17. When he says, you will, let's see, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. So Jesus is using this idea of this cup of suffering. Paul uses it and being poured out like a drink offering. So what's he talking about? So I did some digging, and John Piper has an article on, well, it's not written by John Piper, it's written by Stephen Lee, but it's on John Piper's website called Desiring God. And this guy, Stephen Lee, is talking about this cup of suffering. And he says, what do we make of Jesus, this unusual statement about a cup? He says, key passages in the Bible connect God's wrath with the imagery of a cup. Jeremiah 25:15 tells us, thus the Lord, the God of Israel, said to me, take from my hand this cup of the wine of wrath, and make all the nations to whom I send you drink it. And then he says, Isaiah 51:17 says, O Jerusalem, you have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of his wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. And then he brings up Revelation 14, when an angel speaks, he says, if anyone worships the beast in its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger. That's verses 9 and 10 of Revelation 14. He says, Jesus confirms this connection in Gethsemane when he prayed, the cross looming just ahead. My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Matthew 26:39. And he says the disciples will drink a cup too, because Jesus says, are you able to, remember when he says in James and John?
Are you able to drink the cup that I'm going to drink?
And they said, yes. And he says, you are able to, because he knows they're going to be persecuted. I mean, James is going to be beheaded in Acts chapter 12, verse 1. The disciples would drink a cup too, a cup of suffering, Matthew 20:23. But Jesus' cup of suffering is different from theirs, because Jesus' suffering is under God's anger. Jesus drinks the cup of God's wrath, a cup that has accumulated the fury of God against sins of all types. And that's kind of hard to think about, God being angry with Jesus, his own son. Mm-hmm. But it goes back to what we were saying a while ago about the sin and Jesus becoming sin. heinous crimes, adultery, careless words, dishonoring thoughts, lies, all of it will be punished by God. This is the cup Jesus drinks on the cross. Okay. And then he goes on to say, there at Golgotha, our Savior drained God's cup of burning anger down to the dregs. God poured out his wrath, full strength, undiluted, onto his Son. Paul summarizes, which would be why he was sweating great drops of blood. Mm-hmm. Paul summarizes the meaning of this great event in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's the verse I was trying to think
right,
of.
Right, right.
For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus drank the cup of God's wrath for us so that he could extend the cup of God's fellowship to us. It might include suffering, but not wrath. We don't get wrath anymore. Now we get God. We get grace and mercy, right? We get the sweet, satisfying reality of his eternal fellowship in Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. This is the cup we drink now and forever. This is the cup that we offer to those who don't know him yet, imploring them in God's mercy. Come, drink this cup with us because Jesus drank that cup for us. Mm-hmm. Like what was that song we sang today? Come to the river? Mm-hmm. Come to the river.
You know, we were talking last time about Passover and the Passover Seder, and you mentioned this a little while ago when we were discussing in preparation. You know, during the Passover feast, there are four cups, right, that are celebrated at different points. And one is the cup of sanctification. One is the cup of deliverance. Jesus, it is thought by many that when it said after supper, Jesus took the cup. This was the cup of redemption, and that's when he celebrated, okay, this is communion. This is what we celebrate as the sacrament of the Lord's Supper or communion. But then there's also a cup of praise. So though you and I have a coffee cup, you have a water glass, you have, you know, I mean, we have cups or vessels that hold something specific. We don't name that the cup of purity. You know what I'm saying?
The cup of goodness. The cubby.
The cup of, well, I mean, we could we could name it all kinds of things, right? But that's not something that we typically do in our culture. However, that was regular for them, right? And they had just celebrated the Passover meal earlier that night.
Right.
The same evening. He was talking about the cup of sanctification, being set apart and sanctified unto God. The cup of deliverance, coming out of slavery and into freedom. The cup of redemption, I'm buying you back. You know, and the cup of praise. And hey, let's celebrate and sing a hymn of praise
right.
before we go out to the garden. Right?
Yeah, before you get all this hard stuff.
Right? Mm. Let's go. But now it's not any of those cups. But it's a cup of God's wrath. And praise the Lord, we don't have to drink of that cup of wrath. Because we wouldn't be able to bear it. Mm-hmm. You know, that would mean eternal separation. If we were all forced to drink that cup. I mean, look how difficult it was for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sinless. But he still had to take that on so that we might be extended that cup of redemption, that cup of forgiveness. Right.
It just shows you what agape love is all about.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional love.
Yeah.
That when you think about it, he died in our place. It's heavy.
Yeah.
When you really think about it.
Because I deserved the cup of wrath.
All right.
For my own actions. For my own the things that I've neglected as well as the things that I've done,
mm-hmm.
right? The things that I've done that have been sins against God. I deserve his wrath in whatever portion, whatever vessel he decides to give it in. You know, I deserve that cup, but Jesus took that cup for me.
Yeah. Before we go through 43 to 52, I just want to say this. People today are so much like the disciples. Jesus is about to suffer the greatest pain a man can go through, and yet they're only concerned with themselves. What's in it for them? And sleep.
Right, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, but what is he, again, what does he tell them to do? Watch and pray, watch and pray. What is the least attended meeting of any church?
Prayer meetings.
And what does he say? Will you not wait with me 1 hour? Oh, and I know a lot of folks who take that very literally, and it's like, if they're going to have prayer time, it's going to be at least an hour.
At least an hour.
Yeah, because, okay, they're like, I'm going to wait with the Lord at least an hour. And that's awesome. If you think of, you know, the whole concept of tithe is a tenth, right? Tenth of all. Mm-hmm. And I've heard some people teach that that's not just your talent and your treasure, but that's also your time. What's a tithe of a day?
24 minutes? What, 2 hours?
I mean, it'd be 2 hours, right? 2+ hours. So he's not even asking for a tenth. He's asking for less than that. But they can't wait with him for an hour. You know? And that's a hard thing, obviously, for them to stay engaged in prayer for that long. But, you know, he goes away, has this conversation with the father, and then he comes back to them. Ugh, you're still asleep, right? He goes back and has another conversation very similar with his father. This is prayer, right? And what did they ask to do earlier? Lord, teach us to pray.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is it whether can't you stay awake with me and pray? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And we have to watch and pray so that we don't fall into temptation. Our spirit may be willing and our flesh is weak. Mm. And so guess what? If you got to get up and walk during your prayer time, keep your eyes open, walk and talk to the Lord. Mm-hmm. Whether that's around your neighborhood or in your home, right?
I definitely recommend keeping your eyes open if you're driving.
Yes, if you're driving and praying, by all means, please keep your eyes open.
but how many times, seriously though, when we're praying, our mind goes squirrel?
Right.
Yeah. Or if we're like sitting down praying and it's like, not off. You're just not all asleep. Where'd that come from? I wasn't even sleeping until I started praying. All of a sudden, I'm asleep. You know, and you wake up 30 minutes later, oh, I was praying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time. Isn't that weird?
This flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Like if you're praying by yourself, I have to feel like you have to pray it still out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Because
else, yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
Squirrel.
Sometimes that's good to keep us on track, you know. He comes back to them once more. He went away and prayed the same thing when he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him.
He threw something at them.
I know. I kind of wonder, like, hey guys, whoa, hey, what? You know, bah. Sorry. You don't know what to say. Returning the third time. Are you still sleeping? Resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise. Let us go. Here comes my betrayer.
Yeah, they couldn't stay awake to pray. But boy, Peter's about to spring into action. Because he's going to cut off Malchus's ear.
Well, and they're all about ready to bolt. Right? Yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to fathom the brokenness of Peter at this point. But hopefully we all come to this point of brokenness. Mm-hmm. Right? In realizing our depravity and the weakness of this flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And like you said, you know, Paul talks about, I keep on doing the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do, and what a wretch I am. You know, we all have to come to that realization of, I am absolutely wretched without him. And I need him. And on my own, I will do nothing but deny him.
Yeah. So I got the lyrics for this song. It's called The Hammer by Ray Bolts. It says, he's describing Jesus on the cross. He says, I was in the crowd the day that Jesus died, and as he hung up on the cross, his mother cried. I saw the crown of thorns he wore, the stripes upon his back, the water and the blood ran out. John 19:33.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sky turned black. My mind was filled with anger. My heart was filled with shame. This man brought only healing. Who could bring him pain? Why does it seem the strong always victimize the weak? And suddenly I found myself standing to my feet. And I cried, who nailed him there? This child of peace and mercy, who nailed him there? Come and face me like a man, who nailed him there? And the crowd began to mock me, and I cried, oh my God, I do not understand. Then I turned and saw the hammer in my hand.
Mm. Yeah.
I am just a Roman soldier, an ordinary man. I love my wife and children. I do the best I can. So obviously he's writing from that Roman soldier's perspective. How could I have killed him? It must be someone else. There's got to be an answer. I just can't blame myself. And I cried, who nailed him there? This child of peace and mercy, who nailed him there? Come and face me like a man. Who nailed him there? And the crowd began to mock me. I cried, oh my God, I do not understand. Then I turned and saw the hammer in my hand. I nailed him there. The child of peace and mercy, I nailed him there. I am the guilty man. I nailed him there with my sins and my transgressions. I cried, oh my God, now I understand. When I turned and saw the hammer in my hand.
Mm. It's pretty intense.
That's very intense. So, you want to end with that and you can pray?
Yeah.
All right. Debbie, do you have anything you want to add? All right.
Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your long suffering, your patience with us when we don't get it. When we keep falling asleep and we won't wait with you 1 hour. Thank you that for the joy set before you, Lord Jesus, you endured the cross, all of its shame, all of its suffering, all of the pain that led up to it, because you desired fellowship with us. And thank you for your convicting power, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that brings it to our attention when we, like Peter, have disowned you. When we have all run away and sought protection somewhere else. Father, forgive us. But thank you for conviction and that you said that you are faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness when we ask. Thank you for your mercy. And that you desire for us to know you in your suffering and to live with you eternally in communion and fellowship that's unbroken. God, we give you glory and we thank you for your word in Jesus' mighty name.
Keep grinding.
Thanks for listening to the Grind It Podcast. If we could pray for you or encourage you in any way, please email us at thegrinditpodcast@gmail.com or you can text us at 865-418-2824. If you're watching on YouTube, please click like and subscribe and you'll be notified about new episodes. If you're listening on an app, leave us a 5-star review, but most importantly, share the Grind It Podcast with a friend. God bless you and remember, keep grinding.